you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
I guess you can, I'm going to preface for a while here, but you could open your Bibles. And again, I don't have any notes for you on the screen today, so I hope you'll go along in your Bible, maybe write down some scripture references. You can probably open up to Hebrews chapter 1. But all week, Karen and I were gone this week. We did a few days motorcycle trip. And this thing's just been rolling around in me all week, and this is not a new topic for us at all. We talk about this a lot, but I want to talk to you today, and I told the guys yesterday, I said, okay, I'm going to title this Jesus the Same. It's just going to be a one-time, you know, I really believed that at the time. I always believed that. This isn't going to be a series. It's just a one-shot deal. So I don't have a slide. I don't have anything. Just go ahead, put the RMCM thing. It's just a one-shot deal. Well, I think it's going to end up being a series about the nature of God. But that's what I want to talk to you about today, is the nature and character of God. And as we go on, I specifically want to talk to you today about his nature as our healer. But in a much more general sense, I think this is one of the most important topics in the scripture. One of the primary reasons, I mean, Jesus came obviously to die for our sins so that we could enter into relationship with God, but he came so that we could know what the Father's like. It's one of the primary reasons that he took on flesh, and we'll look at a number of scriptures about that in a few minutes. He came so that we could know what God is like. What is his nature? What is his character? And if we don't, if we are not established in that truth, and we don't establish that truth in our hearts from the right perspective, from the Word of God, and from what we see in Jesus, then we'll be all messed up. There's a lot of religion out there, a lot of theology that really is off base about who God is and therefore what he does. Because you can remember this, God's nature, God's will, and God's word are all one. They are all completely congruous. They are the same, okay? God does not act outside of his nature. God does not speak outside of his nature. He is who he is. He identified himself in the Old Testament with, and I think we're going to go through those. That's what I'm thinking right now. In a series of revelatory names where he said, I am your healer. I am your shepherd. I am your shield. I am a number of, I am your provider. All these things. Jesus came and he too gave us seven in the book of John. He gave us seven I ams of who he was. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am the vine. He gave us all of these pictures so that we could know who he was. And he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying. Jesus is the exact representation of the Father, okay? Now, so what tends to happen, and I fully admit this is just one of my, I don't know, pet peeve is a little shallow of a word. It bothers me tremendously when people say that God did something like made them sick. God gave me cancer. God broke my arm. God did this, did that. God made my child sick, and he did it to teach us something. They'll see something good. They're sincere about that. I understand that. But that perspective is not borne out in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus never made anyone sick. He healed people. Okay? God declared himself to be our healer. Jesus demonstrated the fact that God is our healer. And we could look at a number of different topics. Healing's just an easy one to see. But when I hear that, because I'm so, for so many years, I'm not saying I know everything about God. And anything I say today, it's not to say there isn't a lot more for us to learn about God. That I'm not trying to say there's no mystery in God. I'm saying God has revealed a tremendous amount about himself. And usually where those types of things come from is that people are trying to answer the question. This is a legitimate question that every one of us has at some point and on some level. They're trying to answer the question, if God is a good God, why do bad things happen on earth? Why did I get cancer? I love God. You know, why did this happen in my life? Why did this happen in my friend's life? Why do sometimes we pray for people and they don't get healed, and other times they do get healed? Okay? But I know some of you have heard this so many times, but hear it again. Where those types of things come from is we don't understand everything that happens on the earth, but there are some key things we can understand about that, okay? But when we don't understand and we're looking for understanding, oh, it's a really bad habit to get into, to look at God through the lens of our circumstances. So we take our circumstance, something that happened, and we lift it up and we look at God. We try to figure out who's God when this is happening. This happened. What does that say about God? Where was his, what, did he do this? Did he approve of this? You know, how did this happen? And instead, what we need to do is we need to really get it in our hearts and our heads. No, we look at circumstances on the earth through the lens of who God has said he is. When we look at him through our circumstances, we get a real distorted image is what happens. Okay, and we also have to understand where this comes in mostly in Christianity is it's around the subject of the sovereignty of God. The word sovereignty means having the power and the authority to rule. Okay, that's what sovereignty means. You have the power and the right, the authority to rule. And we understand that God is sovereign. I don't know any true Christian circles that don't believe that God is sovereign. He absolutely has the right and the power to do whatever he wants to do. He is God. And that's something we need to have in our hearts. But what we have to understand is that God, in that sovereignty, chose not to exercise that sovereignty 100% on the earth. He chose instead to share that sovereignty with mankind. He, with Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them dominion over the earth. He shared his sovereignty, okay? And then they, by believing the lies of a liar, this is just a side note, but it's such a good word. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar. When you believe a lie, you empower the liar, whether that's the devil or whether that's a politician. And you believe the lie, so you elect that person. Okay, you empower the liar. All right? So Adam and Eve, in believing what the serpent said, which was not what God had already said, but they chose to believe that dominion that had been given to them passed on to the devil in the earth. When Jesus came back, when he was raised from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you go therefore. So Jesus took back that dominion and that authority. And then he once again, you'd think he'd have learned the first time, he once again delegated that to us to go out into the earth in his name, right? To resist the devil in his name, to spread the gospel in his name. So we have to understand, we're thinking about who God is. Well, why do bad things happen in the earth? And we're not going to look at it today, but Psalm 115:16. You might want to write that down. Psalm 115:16. It's just one place where it specifically says the heavens belong to the Lord, but it says, most of your translations say, the earth he has given to men. That word given in the Hebrew means assigned. He has assigned it to men. So the point being, God, if we have this theology that says anything that happens on earth, God did that. God was behind that. Okay? Then we're going to look at things on the earth and we're going to say, well, why did God do that? That really hurt people. We're not going to understand that a lot of times that was human choice. That was demonic work. That was any number of the natural law. You know, I know somebody that fell off a cliff. Why did God do that? Gravity did that. Maybe a bad choice in gravity. It wasn't God that was behind that. He does not micromanage everything that happens on the earth. So usually what we do, and I just ask you to hear this, you take it, pray about it, think about it. I'm sure there are people here who were raised with this. So a lot of people, well, they won't say God did it. We don't want to say God did it. Some people do. They will tell you God did this to me. But they'll back down a step and they'll say, but God allowed it. And that whole God allowed it thing is a meaningless phrase. I know it's popular. I know it's a Christianese thing. You know, we speak in Christianese. God allowed it. But what that means, what we mean, what a person means when they say that, is God allowed it with a purpose. He didn't stop it. He didn't step in and stop it. And that's true. He does not step in and stop every evil thing that happens on the earth or every hurtful thing that happens on the earth. But what we know is, because the scripture tells us specifically, it's not God's will that anyone be separated from him for eternity and end up in hell, in separation from God. It's not his will. It says that specifically. This is not his will, and yet we know he allows it. He allows the choice. He allows the freedom for people to accept or reject. And I think it breaks his heart. It breaks his heart that anyone would end up in that condition, and yet it is allowed. Okay? So the real question is not what God doesn't step in and stop. The question is, what is his will? And his will is connected to his word, and his word is connected to his nature or character. Does that make sense? Not asking you if you agree with me. I'm asking, does that make sense? Okay? So we have to kind of get that picture, and then we can start to look at, okay, well, who has God revealed himself to be? And how can we know that? Can we know that? You know, and again, we don't know. There is mystery to the Lord. And that's where we make some of these mistakes. We get distorted theology when we're trying to explain things that God hasn't clearly explained in the Word. We need to stick to what he has clearly explained. And then if he reveals something more to us and it aligns with the Word and with his nature, wonderful. That's part of the Christian life. It's part of the blessing of moving with the Holy Spirit and being in the Word and letting him reveal things to us. But sometimes, and preachers are the worst at this, we try to explain why some tragic thing happened on earth. And a lot of times, I mean, I've gotten old enough to just say, I don't know, but I know who God is. Okay? I don't know all the reasons for that. I know there's a thief loose in the earth. I know there's a devil loose in the earth. I know he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. I know that's not God's nature. And Jesus never did any of that. So I know that's not God's will. Why he got away with it this time, I don't know. I just don't know. But I'm not going to make up really bad theology right there. Where we feel, and a lot of times it's out of a good heart. We feel we're with a grieving family who lost a child. That should never happen. That is never God's will. It should never happen. We're trying to comfort people But we've made up some really bad theology in those places. So what I want us to do in this series that I'm apparently starting today is, from all of that, I just want to start reading Scripture, and I really want to look at what God has said about himself, very specifically, and what he has demonstrated in Jesus. If we don't get this, say one more, little more preface, if we don't understand his nature, we're very often going to have misdirected prayers. We're going to ask for things that aren't his will, or we're not going to stand for things that are his will. I don't know how, if you actually, I don't know how many people actually believe that, but if it's your confession that God made me sick, it doesn't seem like you should go to the doctor. It does. If God did that, why are you trying to get out of it? You know, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Jesus was real strong about a kingdom divided against itself, right? He said it can't stand. He didn't say it might not stand. He said it can't stand. So, and God isn't like us. He doesn't change all the time. He isn't this way one day and that way the next, and you never know. Another popular Christian statement, you never know what God's going to do. Well, we don't know everything God's going to do, but we know a whole bunch if we read our Bibles and believe them and have the Holy Spirit revealing things in the Scripture to us. We can predict a lot of things, the way God will feel about a certain thing. And if that makes you uncomfortable, this is why Jesus came. Well, so we're his family, we're his kids, we have his Spirit living in us. We're assigned to carry out the rest of his assignment. He is revealing himself to us, okay? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and just read down through that. It says the Holy Spirit dives into the deep things of God, the things we don't see on the surface, and reveals them to us. He's not hiding everything from us. He doesn't have that kind of ego. But so, you know, I just, some of those things, when you think about it, that are very popular, they make people comfortable, they make people happy for a while till they get mad at God, they don't make much sense. You know, God is either the healer or he's the sick maker. It wouldn't, I really want to quit prefacing. Think about this. Hopefully we'll get to these scriptures in a few minutes. The prophecy in Isaiah 53 was that Jesus, the Messiah, would carry our sicknesses and our diseases to the cross. He became our substitute in that area to provide healing for us. And the New Testament brings out real clearly that that's what he did. Okay? And this, again, this is just the subject of healing, but think about it. So it would make no sense for God the Father to make people sick so that Jesus could carry that to the cross to do away with it. It just, there again, it's a kingdom divided against itself. It doesn't make any sense. But a lot of times we don't think that deeply. We just pick up a theology that we were taught in church or whatever, maybe our parents had, and we just kind of go with it. And then sometimes we start seeing something else in the Scripture, and if we dig into it, and I guess this is what I'm asking, is that if you have grown up around this, at least you don't have to agree with me today, but be open enough to take it to the Lord. That's what I did when I started going to Believer Center. And I thought I knew so much about the Scripture. And it turned out I knew almost nothing. And thing after thing after thing, they'd be teaching, and I'd be like, well, I've been reading the Bible for 5 years. I've never seen, but I'd write them down. I'd go and look at the Scripture. I'd study it out, and darned if he wasn't right. It's very irritating. It was like your mother, you know? I mean, that whole turning out that she's right about so much stuff. It's a hard time of life to go through. But anyway, so I just ask that just take it to the Lord, you know? And I don't have all the answers to all of this, but we want to kind of focus on the things that we do know. Okay, did you find Hebrews yet? It's in the New Testament there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Again, we're just going to read some scripture for a while. It says, he, Jesus, is the sole expression. I'm reading this to you from the Amplified. The sole expression of the glory of God. Okay? So he's the only one that accurately represents the glory, which in this case means what makes God God, the qualities that make God God, the nature of God. He's the sole expression. So if we don't see it in Jesus, if our theology contradicts what we see in Jesus, Jesus is not the problem, okay? Jesus doesn't need to change to adhere to our theology, okay? Our theology needs to change to line up with who Jesus shows us that he is. So it says he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. He's just, that's who the Son is. He expresses who God is. And he is, here it is, the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. That's pretty clear. Jesus is the perfect imprint, the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. Okay? And then in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Hebrews 13, 8, this is really simple. Again, from the Amplified, it says, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is always the same. Yesterday, today, yes, and forever to the ages. He is always the same. So he is always the exact image of the Father. He is always the radiance of the divine. He is always the perfect imprint. Well, that's awesome for us because we've got something to look at. We've got somebody to look at and understand because, there are a lot of ideas floating around out there about who God is, even among Christians. There are just all kinds of ideas. We want to get those from the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. From the Word of God, from Jesus Christ, from what he did, from who he is, from his Spirit in us. That's how we want to develop our understanding of who God is. So again, I said this to you a little bit ago, I think, but John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. John 14, 8 and 9. Now we're just reading the Bible, okay? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus answered, Do you know me, Philip? Or don't you know me, Philip? I love that. Show us the Father. Don't you know me? You know, well, that set the Jews on edge at that time. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? He's saying, I'm the same. He even said at one point, I and the Father are one. And they picked up stones to kill him, you know. He said, and I quoted this to you before, I only say what I hear the Father saying. The words of Jesus came right out of the Father. So I only do what I see the Father doing. Okay? So if we can see Jesus, then we know that comes, what he did, what he said, it comes right from the nature of God. So again, when we're looking at our circumstances, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to understand them in an instant. There are things we wrestle with. Okay, but hold on to who God is. I'm going to look at what's going on in the earth through the lens of who God has shown that he is and what his plan is, what his will is. So that means, okay, and this is countercultural here, we're going to, at times, look at something going on in someone's life or in culture as a whole, and we're going to say, that is not godly. Okay? We're not going to beat up on people. We're not going to judge people. We're not going to say, you're going straight to hell. That's judgment that belongs to God. I explained this to somebody on Facebook the other day because they were just confused about the fact that Christians are actually told in the Bible to judge. That means we are given the right, the authority to discern between right and wrong. That's what we're supposed to do. If we're going to uphold truth, the Bible says the church is the upholder of truth in this age, then we got to know what truth is, okay? It's what we do with that. Whether we condemn people with that, that's a problem. But if we just hold truth, okay, we're going to see that, we're going to know that by knowing what God's nature is. It is going to reveal things around us in the right light. We're not going to just pretend that every idea that anybody ever has and does is okay. You know, we're not going there, okay? You doing okay? All right. So again, let's look at John chapter 10, verse 10. I know some of you feel like you have this written on the front of your head because we go to it so often. But this to me, I mean, this is the great dividing line of Scripture. John 10, 10. Jesus said. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. All right. None of us are experiencing that 100%. Why? Because we're still in this fallen earth. There's still a fallen condition around us. And then as we live for the Lord and we live in his word and we apply the principles of the Scripture and we do all that, we come under a level of protection and blessing that isn't natural in the world. Until Jesus comes back and straightens this whole thing, I told you recently there's a prayer going around on Facebook, pray this with me, that God just take all the evil out of the world. Well, he's going to, but not today. Well, maybe today, but I don't think so. We got a millennial reign and a bunch of things between us and the white throne judgment where new heaven, new earth, all the evil's taken out, God ruling on the earth, then it'll all be taken out. Now we're going to experience some negative things because of it. And we're going to do battle with our own mess in our own lives, okay? So, but his will, again, his will, Jesus came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance and to the full till it overflows. So if there's something that robs your life, steals, it kills, it destroys, it brings destruction, it brings decay, that kind of thing into your life, it's not God's will for your life. You may be experiencing it, and it may be a process of getting out of it, but it's not God's will for your life. And you can stand on it, because Jesus said, I came so that they could have life and life more abundantly. We've got to take hold of some of these things. Don't get into this mushy, oh, I can't have an opinion thing. Yeah, you can. You're supposed to. According to our opinions are supposed to be formed according to the Scripture. Okay? So, to me, all forms of sickness and disease, poverty, crime, greed, you know, those things that go on in people's hearts that destroy another, those aren't from God. Those are not his will for anybody, and yet they affect not only the person who's caught in them, but the people they influence. Okay, we get influenced. A lot of why things happen on earth is, you know, is not because God did it or allowed it or any of that. It's because of choice. It's because he did give us freedom of choice, knowing what was going to happen. He loves freedom. God loves freedom. He did not create a race of puppets. He did not create a race of robots. He gave us choice. Okay, and he said back in Genesis, after the flood, he said, never again am I going to step in and just wipe everything out and start over because of the sin. He said, even though people's heart is just and mind is continually set toward evil, you're going to have seed time and harvest. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to have, you know, summer and winter, heat and cold, day and night. All that's going to continue. Okay, he said, I'm not going to step in and micromanage the earth. Not, you know, he's not going to do that. So, so let's look here. Let's how much time we got left? Yeah, I think I can do this. Okay, let's look at one that might juggle you a little bit. John chapter 9. Okay, this is one that I think a lot of people stand on that believe that God makes people sick or that kind of thing. Okay, John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. All right, and we're going to dig into this. It says, now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples, I'm reading this from the New King James, his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was their belief at the time. If somebody was born with some type of deformity or blindness or something, they believed that came generally, they believe that came through the mother's sin, okay? But they said parents here, so they included the guy. I appreciate that. But anyway, you know, who sinned? It was a legitimate question. That was the belief at the time, you know, that somebody must have sinned. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. And there's a period there in the New King James, or most of your translations, not all of them. And then he says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So many people look at that, and it sounds that way. It sounds like it's saying God had that guy born blind so that Jesus could come along later and heal him and God could get the glory, okay? And I think that's kind of the traditional way of reading that. And I just want to throw some other things at you. I don't believe it reads that way, but you may, okay? This is what I'm going to say to you right now is my opinion. Everybody get that? I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but I want you to think about it. In light of all the places in the scripture where God says who he is, and Jesus said what his purpose was, in light of all that we know about that, okay, first of all, the translators add most of the punctuation that we have in our English Bibles. They add the, of course, there were no chapters and verses, you know, especially in the, you know, Paul's letters, they were letters. Do you put chapters and verses in your letters? No. So the translators add that. And there are some things in the Greek language that'll show there was a pause there. Like here, there's a pause, you know, but they don't know if it's a hard period or, and for the most part, they do a great job. Okay. Personally, I question this one. The way that this one is punctuated, okay? So let's go through it. So the first thing is they ask him, who sinned, okay? Jesus comes back and answers that question by saying, essentially, nobody sinned. Not, it wasn't the result of sin. Neither, okay? Neither he nor his parents, okay? Personally, I think, the John Clement translation, I think there should be a period right there instead of a comma. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. That's the answer to the question that they asked. Okay? Does that make sense so far? All right? After that, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Period. But that the works of God should be revealed in him, comma, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Okay, let's talk about that phrase. First of all, the New King James says, I must work the works of him. All of the better manuscripts say we right there. Jesus went to we. We must. He included the disciples. In order for the works of God to be seen in him, we must work those works. We must do the works of God. We must work the works of God who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. That phrase, doing this while it's day, the night is coming, that was a common phrase at the time that we would probably say, strike while the iron's hot. It meant we got to do this while the opportunity is here. We need to step into this opportunity. And again, he said we. So he said we need to do the works of God. Okay, we can all agree on that. We or I need to do the works of God, right? Isn't that what Jesus said? What did Jesus do? He healed the blind man. He didn't make another person blind. He healed him. He brought healing. That was the work of God. Whether you believe God did make the guy, made him be born blind, maybe you believe that, okay. Still, what was the point of the scripture? The work of God that Jesus talked about and involved us all in was healing, not making the person blind, okay? So my, you know, again, this is just my, as I've looked at this over the years, I believe that this should be written that way. And you may not like that, might make you real uncomfortable, that's fine. At least get the point and agree with me that what happened, what Jesus did in doing the works of God was he healed him, okay? He didn't make him blinder, okay? I'll just do this one more time. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, But, and that word but there, I mean, it's kind of like our English word but it means in total contrast to what you guys are saying. It's a pretty strong word, you know, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of God, or we must work the works of God, who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, here's one of the I am statements, I am the light of the world. Okay? Again, you may not agree with that. I would just ask you, think about it. And think about it in light of who God says he is. Think about this. This is the only place that even could be questionable about whether God was involved, Jesus was involved in making somebody sick. What about the Old Testament? Okay, because what I wanted to do today is go through, we'll probably do it next week, and read a series of scriptures to you, and I'll just name them to you. But so what about the Old Testament? I mean, there are definitely places in the Old Testament where God brought plagues, he people were killed, all those types of things happened. Every one of those were done in judgment for sin, or the people were attacking and going to wipe out Israel. They were done in defense of Israel. And God absolutely, the Father, did those things in the Old Testament. But remember, one of the big messages of the Old Testament was there was sin, judgment, sin, judgment, sin, judgment. There was no provision of grace until Jesus carried sin to the cross and provided that, for lack of a better term, buffer of grace between sin and judgment. And we see places where people repented, or Rahab the harlot. She was in Jericho and she decided, you know, she said, well, I'm going to support what these guys are doing. I'm going to protect the people of God. And she was delivered out of that whole thing when Jericho was taken down. She found deliverance. There are places people had, Pharaoh had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to repent and just do what God was asking him to do and let the people go. We wouldn't have 10 plagues. We'd have 2 if the guy had had any sense. But no, stubborn heart, you know. So yeah, we do see that in the Old Testament. But Jesus came and he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they may have life and life more abundantly. We have to know who he is. So I'm not going to look at him because I don't have time. I want to pray for you guys. And we've got some people homesick today. Tim and Kay are both sick. We want to pray for people this morning. But in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, there's a description of part of the substitutionary work of Jesus. And in some of your translations, says he carried our griefs and our sorrows. If you look those up in any Hebrew dictionary, it means sickness and disease. And a lot of your translations bring that out. He carried that to the cross. It was part of what he took for us so that we wouldn't have to have it. Some people look at that and they say, oh, that just means spiritual healing. Well, read Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through, I think it's about 17. And it just goes through healing after healing after healing after healing after healing. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Healing, 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 healing. And then Matthew says, this was done to fulfill what was written about him carrying our sickness and disease to the cross. So it is about physical healing, okay? He demonstrates it over and over and over in his life on this earth, that God is the healer. He's not the sick maker. Okay, so I just got to stop there because of time. Some things I probably could explain better. Is there anybody in here this morning? I'm not going to have you come forward. In fact, let's just all stand up this morning. We're just going to pray for ourselves. We're going to pray for anybody out online that needs healing this morning. Who needs healing in their body? Just lift your hand. All right, you're stretching. Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay, all right, Zach, I could use some in this arm. Yeah, and I know we have people out online that need healing smart. So let's just agree together. Jesus said, we love that phrase. Jesus said, where two or three of us agree as touching anything, it will be done. So Father, this morning, we as your people, we come before you. And Lord, for those in this room that have a physical ailment of some sort, any sort, in their bodies. Father, we come before you. We lift them up before you. And we take you at your word that by the stripes, the beating that Jesus took on his back, we are healed. Your word says in Psalm 103 that you forgive all. You are the God who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. Father, we stand on those words and we release healing, Lord, even through this live stream. We believe that people are there that will reach out by faith and take hold of your promises today, that their bodies will be healed, that sickness is right now reversed in them. It is driven out. Injury reversed and driven out. Father, we just thank you for it. We thank you so much for who you are. And Lord, as we go forward with this topic of your nature and your character, I just pray, Father, that you would just reveal, for those of us who know it, just make it deeper. For those of us who don't know it, what a wonderful thing to get to know the nature, your nature, that you have revealed to us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Did you do okay?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, if you're scratching your head, that's good. It's good. I don't mean, you know, itching. Anyway, all right. We're going to say it on the count of three. We're going to be dismissed today on the count of three. We're going to say Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world, and we're going to mean it, okay? So let's do it. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. You guys go out and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.